John, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. Look down at verse number 15. Mark chapter 5, verse number 15. It says, And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So the title of my sermon this morning is The Long Goodbye. And basically what this is about lessons learned from taking care of an Alzheimer's dementia parent. You might be thinking like, oh, how does this apply to me? I'm not at that age where I'm going to get the disease, or I may never, ever get it. And you know, we pray God that you never do get it. But if you think about it, you know, it caring for somebody who can't care for themselves, it teaches you a lot. It teaches you a lot of patience. It puts you through trials. It puts you through tribulations. And it's really not just me. It's everybody in this building, because he has affected everyone in here, especially Brother Mike, because a lot of times he's back there like, hey, can you get me out of the country, you know, while I'm preaching, you know, and it's taught me how to, I've had to fight that because I could see him back there, and I kind of know what's going on. I'm trying to stay focused on what I wrote, and to be honest with you, when I'm writing these sermons, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm sitting down writing the sermons, and he's like, yes, what do you need? I don't know. Okay. You know, it makes it challenging, right? It makes it challenging. But in the end, you know, at the end of all of it, I love it because it's just only going to help us out, you know, and it really depends on how you look at things. You know, you can play the victim card and be like, oh, you know, what was me and why is this happening to me, and just never grow from it, never learn from it. And all that's going to do is just cause you to self-destruct, which is exactly what we do not want to do. But going back to Mark chapter number 5 here, you can see how when this guy was not in his right mind, how he affected everybody around him, right? Everybody's just like, man, we got to bind this guy with chains and fetters, and he just affects the whole town. He causes fear. He's not quite that bad, but he does have to be bound at times with a strap, you know, because he is not in his right mind. And so what I want to go over with you guys some things that I've learned, and it's definitely going to be relatable to you because you've all been hassled for water, or, you know, you're trying to listen to the sermon and you can hear the commotion back there, you know, different things like that. But I've also studied some things that I think could help us maybe even prevent this. And we'll just kind of take a look and see what the Bible has to say about the mind and the body and all these different things. So you can leave your place there, but go to Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11. And so, you know, the verse on the back of the bulletin, 3 John verse 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You know, it is God's desire that we would prosper, you know, physically as well, along with us making the effort to prosper, you know, our Christianity or our new man and so forth. And we should wish that for each other as well, right? We should have the desire to help and edify the brother or sister in Christ, you know, take care of each other, point things out that may be in error, you know, watch somebody, take for example, you're watching somebody, maybe they're making a wrong decision, you know, health-wise. You know, it's good to go up and share something if you know something. You know, because that's what we're here for. Iron sharpeneth iron, the Bible says. And so that's why we need to learn from our life experiences. It's very valuable. It's a very valuable tool. And plus, like I said, God does desire that we would prosper health-wise also, right? A lot of people just have this idea in this country and in the Western world. Well, it just comes with age. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I'm going to show you, I do think there are some things that you can do to actually prevent it, because it's not part of aging. You know, we're in 1 Samuel Sunday evenings, and you can see that Eli, when he gets old, and a lot of people in the Bible, when they get old, you know, their eyes might go dim, or, you know, they might gain weight, different things like that. But what you won't see is a pattern of just going completely nuts,
right?
Through whatever dementia Alzheimer's is. But anyways, I want to show you something here. Verse number 11, I'm sorry, Revelation 11, verse number 18, it says, And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Right? You have to understand that there are people out there that are hell-bent on destroying the earth, which also means what? There are people bent on destroying our bodies and our minds and enslaving humanity. Because think about it. We live on this planet. We get our nutrients, we get our minerals, we get our oxygen, water, all the stuff that we need to survive, for our bodies to survive on this earth. And you have to realize there are people out there that are destroying the earth. And I mean, we could spend time and talk about the chemtrails and all these different things that we really do know about. And that's, you know, and that's okay, it's for another time. But I think just knowing that should be the motivation for you to want to take care of your body, to want to take care of your mind, and to want to make sure if there is something that could prevent me from catching Alzheimer's or dementia or some kind of decapitating disease like that, you know, we should want to take that into consideration and apply it. What do you have to lose? Right? So you can leave your place there and go to Proverbs. I'm going to have you guys flipping all throughout the Bible today, but go to Proverbs chapter number 12. And while you're turning there, I'm basically going to read some definitions. So what is Alzheimer's disease? Well, from their own website, it states this: Alzheimer's is a type of dementia that affects memory, thinking, and behavior. Symptoms eventually grow severe enough to interfere with daily tasks. So when a person is diagnosed with Alzheimer's, which they say is like a plaque in the brain, and you're going to see later on that actually a big contributing factor that's not really talked about a lot is heavy metals inside of the body. And it gets inside the bloodstream, it breaks the blood-brain barrier, and it builds up in your mind, or I'm sorry, in your brain. As you age, you know, things slow down, and it basically just clogs the different neurons and pathways in there, and so that you just start to decay. You can no longer think. I mean, you can see this guy back here, right? I mean, the other day he was trying to chew through a baby gate. It's like, what are you doing? You know, sometimes you give him a cup of water, you just turn it upside down and try to eat the cup. That is not normal. That is not behavior that normally comes with aging. In fact, he's 76, 77 years old. I used to work at the shipyard with a guy who was 79 years old, who would still go on board aircraft carriers, still climb up and down ladders on submarines, do crosswords. I mean, he would literally outwork young kids. And that's partially because they didn't want to really work. They wanted the easy route. But he was still there, still using tools, still using his mind. I mean, he could look at wiring diagrams. He could look at drawings. He could put stuff together and still be of value. So how does he do it, but another person can't? There has to be something else going on. And I think it all points back to those people that are destroying the earth. And as I go through this sermon, you're going to see the choices that he made in his life definitely contributed to what he has. So just a couple of quick facts. It says in the United States, someone develops Alzheimer's every 67 seconds. That's insane. When I saw that, I was like, wow, you know, maybe we do need to really preach this. And then it says, in the United States, Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death. Now, does anybody know what the leading cause of death is in regards to doctors? What is it? Yeah, well, so I've read that doctors, for example, like the third leading cause of death in the United States. I've seen other websites that say they're the second. You know, they go back and forth because they're malpractice, right? They oftentimes diagnose people incorrectly. And I can kind of relate to that. You know, I do that with appliances all the time. You know, but that's an appliance. You know, these people are messing with lives. You ever wonder why they call it a medical practice? It's because they practice on you. They practice on me. They practice on us. They don't really know and understand everything. You know, they like to claim they do, and we're told by the media that, you know, whatever a doctor says is just straight gold. It's the law of the land. You have to follow it. In fact, I was raised with that mentality, which is strange, believe it or not, because I also used to hear him say that if you go to the doctor enough, they'll kill you. Which I heard that as a child, and I hardly ever go to the doctor unless there's something extremely wrong, because that just stuck with me. And I believe that to be true, and I'm not trying to knock doctors and stuff. They do have a purpose and a time and a place, and there's things that they do well, and they do save lives from time to time. But I would be very cautious, you know, for our people to always just, that's your first thing. Just to, you got something maybe slightly wrong, and just run to them all the time. Because you know what, sooner or later, they're going to try enough stuff and practice enough stuff on you to where you may not ever get out, or they may cause you further harm. But the point is, if Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death, but yet doctors are the third or the second, the point is, you know, you got a greater chance of dying from a doctor, and we're supposed to go to the doctors to get the advice on how to deal with dementia. None of that adds up. Right, so I'm not going to put my trust in a doctor. I'm actually going to go to the Word of God, because this is tried and true. This is settled in heaven. This is what brings not only everlasting life, but there's wisdom for the time and now. You know, somebody once told me that the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And that's kind of true if you really think about it, right? These things are written to help us in the here and now as well as in eternity. Now, it goes on to say this, because there's a difference between Alzheimer's and dementia, which he has both. But it says, dementia describes a group of symptoms associated with a decline in memory, reasoning, or other thinking skills. Many different types of dementia exist, and many conditions cause it. Mixed dementia is a condition in which brain changes are more frequent than the other type of dementia, which occurs simultaneously. Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia, accounting for 60 to 80% of dementia cases. Says dementia is not a normal part of aging. It is caused by damage to brain cells that affects their ability to communicate, which can affect thinking, behavior, and feelings. And that is exactly what he has. And from what I've read, he's in like pretty much the final stages before it's like bedtime for life, okay? The reason why I call this a long goodbye is because, you know, it's a hard process. For example, he was diagnosed with this back in 2016, right? Yeah, 2016. We first started just noticing weird behavior, getting lost driving down the road, go to another town, not know where he's at, and then snap out of it. And then he would drive home. And then, it would progress. Finally, luckily, he was smart enough one day to come to us and say, hey, I'm tired of getting lost out there. Here's the keys. Sell my vehicle. And that's the end of it. Then he went through this phase where he started to get violent, like nasty violent. Like one time, I just came home from work, and he came out of the room because he used to live with us, and he's just like, you know, started cussing me out and looked and started reaching for the kitchen knives. I'm like, oh, no, you know, and during that phase, we decided, you know, you have to go. You have to go into a home because I can't trust you when I'm at work with my kids. And he was still at that time more physically able to move around and use his hands. And so, you know what? A lot of people may disagree, and I disagree, you know, with a lot of people just putting him in homes just because they're a burden or whatever. But in a situation like that, I think it's very necessary because he could literally harm. He's out of his mind, you know, and he's causing fear in the house. So we put him in there for a couple of years till the money ran out. Until now, he's no longer able to basically do harm because he's got that really bad arthritis in his hands and in his elbows. He's not able to really physically do that, and he's kind of past that stage to where now he is what you all see him as. But I want to read something to you about dementia. It's a good explanation. I didn't create this or nothing. This was taken from Facebook post or something, but it's pretty good. Just listen to this. Neurologists say that dementia should be called failure of the brain because the other names are nebulous and do not show the severity of the disease to most people. As the patient brain slows and dies, they change physically, lose the ability to speak, and the caregivers are often in shock and exhausted. Patients will end up bedridden, unable to move, and unable to eat or drink, but it is the different phases beforehand that are just as painful. The day they suddenly forget how to dress themselves and become confused and combative when you try to fix the clothing that they put on backwards. When they repeatedly ask where their lifelong mate is or whether their children are still alive or while they're looking straight at them. So basically what they're saying is that, and you've seen this, right? Some of you have been here later on today where it's like, hey, where's so-and-so? Where's my kid? You know, where's the grandkids? And it's like, right there, talking to you. That's not them. That's kind of where we're at with him. It says, when they are confused, angry, or frightened, it is because they are partially aware of who they were, yet are that person no longer. And so I think that kind of sums up the stage of where he is at and in this whole thing. But I want to continue on with some more facts here because this is going to start to get into the meat, I believe, of the cause of why people get this and who gets it the worst, right? This is very interesting. It says this year, 5.3 million Americans will live with Alzheimer's in the United States, with an approximate 5.1 million people being 65 years and older. In terms of gender, don't miss this, 3.2 million are females and 1.9 million are male. So if you're a female, you are two-thirds more likely to get Alzheimer's than a male. Now, part of that probably has to do, well, I'll get into that here in a minute. But it goes on to say this, ethnicity also plays a role, as older African-American and Hispanic individuals are more likely to suffer from Alzheimer's in comparison to older white individuals. And that's because we have white privilege. Okay? Now, I don't know how this is going to play out with me because I'm half Mexican and I'm half white. So I don't know. Would you just have to wait and see how this thing? And I'm totally kidding, right? There is a reason for that. And part of it is these rich billionaires that are out there, they have these eugenic programs. They target low-income neighborhoods, okay? We all know that. They set up these abortion clinics there. They set up experimental vaccines there. Not to mention, a lot of them come here and they work on farms and they're just given these dangerous pesticides with no control, very little protective gear to use those pesticides. They bring that stuff home. It gets into the family. And that's why. It's not because of their ethnicity at all. It's because of other people just being evil. Remember, there are people hell-bent on destroying this planet, which is going to, in turn, destroy us as a human race. So that, just keep that in mind. It says the rates of dementia differ greatly around the world, from the lowest rates in Africa, India, and South Asia, to the highest rates in Western Europe, and especially North America. Is it all just genetics? Well, the incidence of dementia and Alzheimer's disease is significantly lower for Africans in Nigeria than for African Americans in Indianapolis, for example, up to five times lower. So if you were to go to Nigeria, go to Africa, you'd cut your chances literally in half, like almost to nothing there. And of course, it's still going to be higher there than maybe in some of these Asian countries. And that's because, you know, for example, Billy Boy Gates, where's he going to take his big-time experiments? He's going to take them over there.
Right.
You know, I hate to say, but it is true. A lot of these rich billionaire people, they really are racist.
Yep.
I tell you, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, when you get down, if we were to be able to, you know, get into like a little mini drone and get into one of their meetings, you would see that they hate and despise black people. I mean, there's a reason why Africa is in the condition that it's in.
Right.
Part of it is because of the white man. Not us, but, you know, it's these rich billionaire people. They really do think very, very highly of themselves. I mean, you just read some of the stuff that they write and they come up with. I mean, even just reading that book that I recommend to you guys, How to Win Friends and Influence People, you can kind of see that because the guy mentions guys like Dale Carnegie and you know, some of these rich people. And you just start looking into their lives and you'll see it. I mean, they really do believe they have like a God gene. They're above the law. And I mean, you got to think, they do live well into their 90s, fully able to mentally function, make decisions, and scheme in ways that we can't even imagine on how to solely destroy people. So, I mean, just keep that in mind as we go through this. But another thing, I'm just going to say this as well, you have the vaccines. You
right.
know, I'm going to keep bringing that up because in every vaccine is what? Aluminum. And we talked about this not too long ago, all these heavy metals, just unclean things.
Right.
You know, and they'll make them free a lot of times in these lower income neighborhoods. And what does that do? That puts metals into your brain and it adds up over time. And then you have the natural stuff from the environment, from the people that are destroying the earth. And next thing you know, the Alzheimer's dementia rates increase with those groups of people. So it goes on to say, Alzheimer's rates of Japanese Americans living in the U.S. are closer to that of Americans than to Japanese. When people move from their homeland to the United States, Alzheimer's rates can increase dramatically. Therefore, when Africans or Asians live in the United States and adopt a Western diet, their increase in Alzheimer's risk suggests that it is not genetic. And again, it all goes back to the way of life here. Now, going back to the reason why are women like two-thirds more likely to get it than men? Here's the thing. It's your feminine products, partially. Okay? You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to get into descriptive detail. But I will tell you this. This story just came to me here. You guys remember back when I was working for the government. One day we were just kind of sitting around. We were reading some stuff, some ingredients that were in some stuff that we had to go put on a ship. And one guy, I don't know how the heck he found this out, but he's like, this is in feminine products. I was like, how do you know that? And he's like, well, you know, my wife's a nurse and had brought up, we were talking about this and, you know, wondering if like this is like a contributing factor to poor health. And so what he did is he was friends with a guy in the lab and just took one of those feminine products and said, hey, you know, can you just do some tests on here? Just kind of like let us know what's in there. And it came back with all sorts of stuff. Now, this is all under the table. It wasn't like an official thing, right? It was a guy, we had some buddies that, you know, they test barbecue sauces for us to try to figure out, like, you know, like how we could copy the recipe, you know, under the table, quite, you know, it's bad, right? That's what you get when you work for the government, right? The stuff rubs off on you, right? But I remember I came home and I was telling Jessica about this and she's like, you know, I hadn't really thought about that before. And so she started looking into it and was like, oh, there's all this other information out here, you know, from these natural news people and, you know, these health sites. And so, you know, her and the girls, they got their own little program which bypasses all that stuff. And so if you're interested in that, go see her. She's got all that. I'm not going to talk about it. You get what I'm saying. But another thing, too, is what became popular, what, 60s, 70s, with the cookware, like the aluminum? When did that start coming on the scene? Probably 60s, 70s, right? You know, manufacturers starting to advertise, oh, look at this aluminum lightweight cook or pot or pan, right? And so they started bringing in all this aluminum and Teflon, which has been proven to be destructive. And by the way, a lot of refrigerator ice makers are made out of Teflon. And so just keep that in mind. After 7 years, it's a proven fact that Teflon starts to break down. So if you got an older refrigerator and it's got an ice maker in there, you could be ingesting that Teflon into your system. So just keep that in mind. And I believe because women are home and cooking and using these, so you got the feminine products, you got the aluminum pans and the pots and all these heavy metals, and then you add the vaccines and then just the natural toxins that are in the environment. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster. You know, if you type into Google country with the lowest rate of Alzheimer's, Japan comes up. And obviously it's getting worse there because they're adopting our ways of life with the fried foods and the garbage and stuff. But when I was over there, you know, I would just some of the stuff I saw is no reason why they are lower in Alzheimer's and dementia than we are. It's because they walk a lot more than we do. They have more portion control. And the diet thing is debatable, okay? They do eat a lot of soups, a lot of fish. You know, in our country, a lot of our meats, unfortunately, you know, are grown for profit. And so they're injecting them with hormones and different things like this. And all this stuff is unhealthy, and it just adds to the problem. So you add the vaccines, the metals, and all of these things from the animals, and you got a recipe for disaster. But of course, now they have another issue in Japan because after the earthquake of 2011 in Fukushima, you know, you had that nuclear reactor spill into the ocean. And so, you know, you've got to deal with all that. And so I think you're going to start to see a shift over there in their country in regards to heavy metals in the body. But, you know, their soups are pretty healthy. You know, a lot of them, they really are. And they just have portion control. They walk everywhere. For example, I remember one time I think I was on a train or a bus. And this old guy, man, he was super old, just walking down the street, and he trips over something, and he does a perfect Tai Chi roll. No joke. And he gets up, and he shakes himself off like that, and just shook his head, and just kept on going. I was like, man, if that would have happened here, somebody would have been going to the hospital, broken hip, broken neck, fractured, you know, spleen, all this stuff. It would have just been a nightmare. But this dude, he just got up and was like, hey, I'm going to get that bowl of ramen no matter what. You know, but it was pretty cool. I mean, he just tripped, just whoop, you know, just like you would see. And obviously they grew up with, you know, Aikido, Judo, doing all these roles in school and stuff like that. And I just thought that was funny. But let me continue on reading this here. It says, unfortunately, one doesn't have to move to the West to adopt a Western diet. The prevalence of dementia in Japan has shot up over the last few decades. Mechanisms to explain this in Japan include increases in cholesterol, saturated fat, and iron from increased consumption of animal products. So you see, I don't really believe all that, because they're going to tell you, oh, because they're increasing their consumption of eggs that they're getting dementia because eggs are higher in cholesterol. So you got to be careful with the, because I took all this from an actual, you know, Alzheimer's.com or whatever, and they're going to blame all that. Oh, it's just eating animal fats, right? Because PETA's got to get their 2 cents in there. Oh, if you just eat a steak, oh, you're going to die, get dementia. No, it probably has something to do with what's being injected, which maybe Skulk knows a lot more than I do about that. I don't know. I did used to be a food inspector, and they would always be talking about, for example, there's this big beef company. It's called National Beef. And if you ever see a National Beef box come into the back of a store, I don't even know if they're around anymore, but it used to have this blue seatbelt painted around the box. And I asked the guy who worked at the plant one time, I was like, what does that blue seatbelt represent? And he said, well, we got this blue chemical that we spray all the sides of beef down in the plant before we start to process it, because it kills all the bacteria and does all the stuff. I was like, what's in it? And he's like, it's proprietary. I'm like, oh, another secret, you know, a secret. But it's just another way of saying, I don't know, and you don't want to know. Okay. Now, does that mean I'm never going to eat conventional beef or anything? No, of course I will, because I believe that the food is sanctified by the word of God. But you know what? Wisdom is a thing. It's the principal thing. And with all thy getting, get wisdom, right? We want to still achieve that. And so you know what? I'm not going to just neglect all the health advice that comes from the Bible or that comes from experts that are out there. Right? I do think we need to have balance. I think that being a glutton and just going too far either direction is a problem. I think if you can just find balance, you're going to be okay. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and I will read the rest of this while you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. He goes on to say, traditional diets are generally weighted towards vegetable products such as grains and away from animal products, but since 1960, the diet in Japan has changed from a more traditional rice-based diet to one with an exorbitant amount of meat. From 1961 to 2008, meat and animal fat increased considerably, whereas the rice supply dropped. The dietary factor most strongly associated with the rise in Alzheimer's disease in Japan was the increased consumption of animal fat. I don't believe that. I think it's stuff they're putting in the water, and I think it's stuff that they're putting in the products that they're buying from America. Yeah. I think it's the heavy metals, 100%. What else could it be? Because if it's not natural for you to get this, it's not part of the aging process. We can see that just from reading the Bible. It's a fact. Then it's something that man's doing. It's something that the people in Revelation chapter number 11 are doing, the people that want to destroy the earth. So we're going to go ahead and move on here with the first point, the first lesson today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so the point there is that we need to make sure that we're not only just taking care of the new man, but we need to keep the old man abased, and we should take care of our physical bodies. Because when our physical bodies go, our physical minds go, there goes the works. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If your body gets destroyed, how are you going to be able to go out and do the works? You're going to be able to go soul winning. You're going to be able to go edify your brother. You're going to be able to go help people out. You're going to be able to help church events. And the answer is obviously no. So we need to take care of ourselves. And the first lesson that I want to bring up to you, the first point is to take care of your body because it's not your own. You were bought with a price. I get it. Yes, the body is going to go in the ground. It's the old man. It's the flesh. But you know what? We have to keep him in subjection so that we can do God's work right now, because that's what matters. And if we neglect our bodies, then what are we going to be able to do? Nothing. You know, again, self-destruction, like I talked about in Cincinnati, it's just going to hurt the cause of Christ. Now, turn to Acts chapter number 17. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read for you two verses out of Isaiah chapter 58, which kind of give a promise here. So Isaiah 58:10 says, "And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday." You're going to kind of see this principle that I'm speaking of as you go throughout the Bible. God rewards obedience. And that's what God's communicating to the children of Israel here through the prophet Isaiah. In verse 11, it says this, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones." And that's a reference to being healthy, right? Having dense, healthy bones. "And thou shalt be like the watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." If you study health in the Bible, one thing that is consistent, God rewards obedience, you know? And God rewards people that seek to be wise, you know? I mean, if you have a heart for souls, for the brethren, for the things of God, you know, it should come natural to you to want to take care of your body so that you can do those things as long as you possibly can. And why wouldn't God reward that? You know, if we know how to give gifts to our children being evil, how much more shall the Father of Lights give gifts to us? You know, I mean, he's not evil. He's obviously going to reward that. And you see that principle all throughout the entire Bible. Now, so I said take care of your body because it's not your own. It's the only one that you have until you get your new body. Now, just to kind of give you a picture of this. So with my dad here, you know, he had a history of abusing the body, partially through career choices, but also partially from living a rough young life, being stooped in fornication, which the Bible clearly says is a sin against the body. It damages people in ways that science and doctors don't even really realize and understand, but also through the use of alcohol and other drugs growing up. Now, his career choices, obviously he didn't choose to go to Vietnam. He was forced to go there. And that's a whole nother situation in and of itself. And you've all heard about Agent Orange and all of these weird things that the government did there, experiments to try to get typhoons, you know, to increase so that they could advance the military and stuff like that. Who knows what's involved in all that? You know, but he was over there during that time, and that probably had some contribution. But the biggest one is really his career choice of being in the painting business, being in the painting field. Because back in the day, I used to talk to him and these other guys that I worked with. They would go on board like the USS Nimitz, you know, and be working, doing a job. And be like, you know what, this is getting kind of old. Let's play softball. Go out there and on the flight deck and get big balls of asbestos. Everybody knows asbestos is bad for you. They'd make these big balls, get the broom handles out, and play a game of baseball with asbestos. That's what they do. Or they take paint. You know, this stuff is supposed to be highly controlled, especially now. Take this stuff and just throw it on each other. Just because that's how guys play around, I guess, you know, in that field. And I believe that stuff gets into your skin, gets into your pores, and is extremely harmful, you know, because when I worked at the same place, I mean, I wasn't in that field, but we weren't even allowed to go near that stuff until it had cured for 48 hours. So we'd go in there and we'd set stuff up to help them cure it or to help them, you know, dry it. And then we would get out. We'd be like, we're not going in there. And we'd have detailed instructions on how to do everything. It'd be like, you know, if you see one speck of green paint on the ground, run, you know, get out of there, postpone a job, you know. And so you put a document together like that for people, you know what they're going to do? They're going to look for that paint because they don't want to work to begin with. So they're going to be like, ooh, you know, I'm looking for any reason I can to shut this job down. But nonetheless, that was definitely a contributing factor. But here's another thing. Never really saw him reading books. Never really saw him, you know, challenging the mind or anything like that. And so, again, it's really a combination of just some bad choices regarding the body. Just a failure, a neglect to take care of it. And so you might ask, okay, well, what do we do about that? What are some ways to take care of the body? And I've just got a few things listed here. Some people, you might have more, you might not agree. This is just stuff that I've researched that is supposed to help and stuff that I've made sure to start doing, and some of them I was already doing. Now, the first one that I thought was interesting was cinnamon. Not just your store-bought cinnamon, but real cinnamon. What's it called? Xylene? Ceylon cinnamon? Come see me after the service, right? I'm not a vitamin doctor or anything, but we'll just call it cinnamon. Just keep in mind, real cinnamon, okay? So I took this from the People's Chemist website. This guy has some pretty good stuff. I don't agree with him on everything, but he says, according to researchers at the University of California, Santa Barbara, cinnamon attacks the mind-numbing plaque that leads to Alzheimer's disease. They found that when taken orally, it scrapes the brain cells clean of the gelatinous fibers that gunk up our neurons and rob the mind of life's most precious memories. And I know some people are going to watch this and maybe say, well, no, I think you should just stick to the medicines. Well, here's the thing about the medicines. He was on every medicine known to man when I went and picked him up last year. So next month will be 12 months. We've had him and we've been taking care of him, okay? When I picked him up, I mean, he was just like a skinny zombie. I mean, it was just weird. I mean, it's weird now, but it was far worse there. And I start to look into some of these medicines. You know, and he's on one. It's a psychiatric drug. It's meant for schizophrenic people. Yeah, it's meant for schizophrenic people. And it says on the instructions, not intended and could be fatally harmful for the use with Alzheimer's patients. You know, and I've had a discussion with a doctor. And you know what she told me? She put it very cleverly. I can't even regurgitate to you what she said. So I'm just going to say, like, the gist of it. But she basically said, imagine yourself in his position. You don't know who you are. You don't know who the people that are in front of you that are taking care of you are. Would you want to live like that? Obviously, no, I don't want to live like that. But that's not the point. What are you, Dr. Kevorkian? You know what I mean? Look, there are people out there, and I believe that our medical professionals are trained to subtly kill off the elderly. And she said, you know, basically what will happen is he'll get stopped up because they lose the ability to recognize when they have to, you know, relieve themselves, use the bathroom, and then he'll die. This stuff's going in the garbage. As hard as that is to deal with this guy, I would at least rather have a clear conscience of it. If it's going to go, let it go naturally.
Right.
You know what? I'm not going to take the easy way out. You know what? If we have to suffer for the time being, then praise God, at least we're going to learn some patience. At least we're going to learn, you know, some endurance, gain some hope. And you know what? It gets easier with time because you get used to it. You learn tricks. You learn ways. And not only that, but it can be an example to other people because you're going to go through hard things. And you can look at that situation and be like, well, if he can do it, then so can I.
Good.
You know, but these so-called medicines, they all state on there, this will not help. It might mask some of the symptoms. They're trying to kill him. They're trying to kill a guy. She literally told me they're trying to kill him. Not murder. Not really. She didn't use the word kill, but basically, this is going to basically solve the situation for you. All the while, they get a nice little paycheck on the side.
Right.
So I tossed all that stuff away,
Amen. And
it's been better. It's been a lot better. So, you know what? It's not going to hurt anybody to start taking cinnamon. It's not going to kill you. Unless you get the stuff that's tainted with, you know, heavy metals. So you got to be careful with that. But another thing that I've researched is coconut oil. I guess coconut oil is supposed to be good. And probably, you know, butter and honey. The Bible speaks of those being good for the mind. I should have put that verse in here, but I didn't. You guys can look it up on your own time. But there's some nutrition, obviously, in that combination there. And so, again, the idea here is to take care of your body. You know, watch what you eat. Yeah, you're going to eat the ice creams and you can eat these things. But don't go too far one way, because it's just going to harm you, I believe. Also, the TRS stuff, right? That toxic, advanced toxic removal system. I started taking that, and I noticed that I guess I'd had worms. Didn't realize it. So I must have picked something up in my life, probably over in Japan from the raw fish, maybe. I hope not, because I like that sushi. Sounds good. But I'll tell you what, I felt a whole lot better ever since that thing's been gone. You know, so you might just want to look into some of this stuff. You know, take care of your body. Take care of your gut health. Use turmeric. That's also been proven. You know, take turmeric and teas. Who likes curry? Right, a lot of curry. Yeah, a lot of curries have that. You know, some of you guys might want to try to make a secret recipe with this chili. You know, a mind-altering, mind-saving chili. And stay away from that tea I talked about on Wednesday, too. That's not going to help you, okay? Another thing is frankincense and myrrh. You know, those are mentioned in the Bible as being very beneficial for health. You can take those through oils, putting them in like an air diffuser and rubbing them on your skin and stuff. You know, look into some of these things. They can help. You know, just be cautious of your environment and just realize, you know, the evil people of our world, they're putting heavy metals in all sorts of stuff in food. So we want to minimize, you know, these cheaper cuts of meat if you can. You know, try to get that good meat inside of you. You know, go buy meat from a farm or something. Now, you're there in Acts chapter 17. Look at verse number 10. Oh, also, I forgot to mention this. Don't turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Very familiar verse. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, a lot of people like to mock that and say, well, it doesn't profit a lot. And that's true, not compared to spiritual things, right. But it does profit. You know, and when I was in Japan, one thing I noticed is the Japanese people exercise. They walk, they fish, they're active. And some people used to make fun. They would say, well, that's because their dwelling places are so small and, you know, they got no choice but to go outside and walk around. Whatever the case is, it works, right? Look, that's one thing I think we can all agree on health-wise, that it's good to keep the body moving. It's good to be active. It's good to stay active. When you plop down in front of that couch and all that you want to do is watch TV, you want to watch that tablet, you know what? That could be your future. Remember that TV sermon I preached not too long ago? One of the big things I mentioned on there that is a proven fact is that excessive watching of TV is a huge contributor to Alzheimer's. It must somehow react with the metals and stuff that get inside of your brain. So just remember that. And so point number one is just take care of your body. Take care of your physical body. I think by implementing some of these things, looking and doing your research, you know, and just trying to live healthy. Make the majority of your food healthy. Make the majority of your meals, you know, well balanced. Take care of that body, and I think you're going to really cut in half, you know, or probably more, you know, your chances of getting Alzheimer's. So let's move on here. Let's look at the second thing. Acts chapter 17, look at verse number 10. It says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So kind of like the verse I chose to open the sermon with, right? We talked about the guy who had the legion. He was in his right mind and people were afraid, obviously, because they didn't understand the situation. But that's the goal, that we remain in a right mind. And we can see here the noble quality that God attributes to the people that lived in Berea was what? That they searched the scriptures with a ready mind. And so number two, the second thing that I've learned from taking care of a parent with Alzheimer's is to take care of your mind. You need to challenge your mind. And what we learned from this passage here is that searching the scriptures scrubs the mind. Searching the scriptures scrubs the mind. Just remember that. It really does. And not to mention, it's a noble act. God looks at that as a noble thing. And why wouldn't he reward his children for being obedient? You know what? As God's people, I say this all the time because it is so true. You don't get to play by the rules of the world. We have a different set of rules. We've got a whole book here full of things that we should follow, that we need to follow and do. And God always rewards obedience. I'm not going to say that you're going to live a happy ever after life and never have any health problems or never have anything. But you know what? God does reward obedience. And to be honest with you, I'd rather go out as a martyr than go out that way. I mean, just think about that. Nobody in here wants that. He is a walking lesson for all of us. So take care of your mind. It's a noble thing. Now go to Romans chapter number 12. And so there's tons of things. Obviously, reading the Bible is going to take care of your mind. It's going to scrub your mind. It's going to make you a better Christian. It's going to please God. I get that. God rewards that. But you know, you should read books by other people too. You should always be trying to learn something. I mean, what is your craft? What is your job? You know, take that for example. You should try to learn as much as you possibly can about that. You know, you should read history. You should read things that challenge you, things that, you know, because that helps the mind grow. Also, you know, playing games like chess is good for your mind. Playing Tetris might be good too. I don't know. I heard that's true. Unless you're angry like me, then don't play any games, right? But I'm not talking, some games are better than others, all right? I'll just say that. But, you know, playing games with these kids, like Connect Four, like Moses is always over there roasting the kids, you know, that's good. He's got a good mind, you know. If he keeps that up, he may not get Alzheimer's, even though he lost. So he's doing something wrong here. Either that or these kids are paying more attention than he is. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 16. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. So somebody who's wise in their own conceit, somebody said, you know, I got this all figured out. So like when I was in Cincinnati the other day, we had a caretaker come over. Was she Friday, the bad one? Yeah, Friday morning. So, you know, we're getting ready, obviously, to head back. And I had a caretaker come over to help Jessica with my dad. And she didn't want to hear anything that we had to say. You know, Jessica's like, you need to do this and do this. And not being rude, but just this here, this is the routine. This is what we do. This is what works. She bypassed all that. I'm a nurse. I know 18,000 people that have this disease. I know everything. And it was the worst experience we've ever had with a caretaker. She did everything wrong, completely spoiled them, completely messed up our whole thing. And I'm never going to let that woman come back into our house. Because she has this mindset here where she's wise in her own conceit. She's just conceited, just selfish, just thinks, I've got it all figured out. People like that are terrible to work with. They're terrible to live with. They're terrible to be around because you can't teach them anything. You can't train them. You can't even really talk to them. They talk to you. When you talk to them, their ears just stop. They don't hear anything. They just wait for this to stop from you. And then once it stops, then they're like, anyways, back to me. Anyways, back to me. Right? We don't want to be like that. You need to be engaging in conversations with other people. You have to talk. That is how you take care of your mind. And that's what God wants from his people. He wants us to socialize with each other. You know, that is a component that is largely missing from a lot of other churches. And I thank God that, you know, it's not like that at this church and in churches like ours. You know, we can go to Sacramento, we can go to Vancouver or any of the churches in our movement, and you'll be there just talking until you drop. You know what I mean? About life experience, just different things. And like when I went to Cincinnati, it was like talking to these guys, it was wonderful. It was great. You know, I felt like I'd known these people forever. Right. And it's because we all have everlasting life.
Right.
And so, you know, put that into perspective. But we're supposed to be of the same mind one toward another. We're not supposed to mind high things. You know, a high thing really is the media,
yeah.
TV. And who's the prince of the power of the air? It's the devil. You know, he's in that stuff. There's something very, very dangerous when you sit down and you devote so much time to a screen. It really is instant gratification. It really is just, your brain just shuts off and it just perceives everything as reality and it just messes with your mind. I'm not saying, you know, oh, don't stare at the screen. Oh, don't watch that segment. Oh, don't watch that YouTube. Don't watch that sermon. I'm not saying any of that. Just limit the time that you're just watching like these fictional things, especially because it's not profitable. It's not profitable. The characters are not real. They are not real. But yet your mind perceives it as reality. I mean, that's why you can watch The Land Before Time, or I know that's probably way back. You guys probably don't even know what that is, huh? Or E.T. Right? I remember watching E.T. and seeing these kids in the movie theater crying, and I was just like, you guys are weak. I was a terrible kid, right? I used to just love making fun of people that were crying because, and I'll just bring this up, okay? Because I had a rough childhood, and I'm not the only one in here that's had that, okay? When I joined the military, my dad, you know what he did? Stuck out his hand and just like, good luck. Kind of like that movie Taken, which is horrible, but I watched that back in the day. You know, that scene where he's like, good luck. That's pretty much what he said to me. He just turned around and walked away. And Jessica was there, and she's bawling her eyes out, and she's crying, and my mom's like this. Right? I did not come from a close family. And he tried to buy my affection through giving me toys and just giving me all the time and freedom I wanted to go out the woods and throw rocks at cars and just do all this crazy stuff. You know what? I had to go in the military. I believe that God pushed me in there. I really do. Because that's where I learned what it's like to work hard and be a man. I didn't learn that at home. I'm not trying to knock anybody. It's just reality. Because the TV was the idol of our house. TV was what was important. TV was the central thing in our home growing up. And I believe God was like, you know, you're not going to church, so you're not going to get it there. I'm going to put you through the ringer. And he did. And I don't recommend anybody in here do that, because that's a place where you're going to get exposed to a lot of harmful injections and experiments. But it was less during my time than it is now. And so with that in mind, let's get back to what I'm talking about here. Take care of your mind. Verse number 17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And so go to Galatians chapter 6. And so obviously the application here is to take care of your mind, right? We need to strive to be of the same mind. And how are we going to do that as a church? We're going to do that by learning the doctrines, right? Don't just listen to me teach them to you. I mean, yeah, listen, but also go back and study them for yourselves, because you're going to pull more insight that's going to make sense to you, and it's going to help you teach that to other people in a way that makes sense to you. You see what I'm saying? We all learn differently. We all explain things differently. And you need to study these things and be able to explain them for yourselves. Because oftentimes when you just hear something, they're like, okay, I believe you. I believe that's truth. But can you even write it down?
Right.
You know, like, could you write down verses that support the Trinity right now? You know, if I were to pass out a test, you know, or if I were to pass, hey, what's Hebrews 6 talk about? What is Hebrews chapter 7? You know, Leviticus chapter 3, describe the peace offering here. You know, what part, you know, stuff like that. You know, you need to go back and learn what these things are and internalize them so that you can benefit and you can profit from them. And the result is going to be that you're taking care of your mind. You're scrubbing that mind. You're exercising it. And you know what? Anything that you exercise is going to yield some profit to you, okay? Galatians chapter number 6, look at verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Think about that. What we sow, what we invest in, we're going to reap of that. And if you want to go too far to the flesh side, to the old man, and to placating him, you will reap his benefits. You will reap those rewards. It's a fact. I'll prove it to you. So, for example, with my dad, growing up, and even until just very recently, all he would drink is coffee. No water. Unless he was sick. Now, that's about right. Huh? That's it. Now, all he can drink is water. That's like the number one priority. It's like he never drank a drop in his whole life. Think about that. You reap what you sow. Here's another one. This guy only wanted to watch TV. That's it. Come home, get that remote control, boom. Did you tape my shows? Yep. Okay. That's how it was growing up. Get off work. That's it. All day. TV, sleep. TV, sleep. Now, he can't do either. And we want him to. Sit down and watch this tablet of Andy Griffith. And just stay away from me for a minute. I need to type this up. I've got things to do. But he can't understand. He just starts talking to the people inside there. Can you get me out of here? Mike, are you in there somewhere? Mike, can you give me some chili? It better not be white. Number three. He only wanted to be by himself. This guy has zero friends. Not a single one. Not one friend. Does anybody in here know somebody? This guy, I mean, besides him, that's got no friends? Not one. He retired at the same place that I worked at, and I used to go to some of the upper managers and be like, hey, you've been here for like 20, 30 years. You remember, you know, my dad? And he'd say, yeah. I'd be like, it's not a very good look. Like, I'm not trying to be rude, but they'd be like, your dad was a jerk. You know, I took part of that, unfortunately. You know, you're going to take some attributes from your parents. But he, kind of a workplace bully, maybe a little bit too extreme. And people didn't like him. You know, anything that would go wrong, you just call it out. You know, and I get that. I have a little bit of a different philosophy. I learned in the military just to shut up and do your job. You know, and it works. You just shut up and you work hard, people are going to be like, hey, you must be on board with everything, even though you're not. They don't know that. They're going to lift you up. They're going to be like, I can trust you. Obviously, you're a humble person. You're teachable. You're trainable. All these different things, and they're going to promote you. And I think it's why I exceeded him in position there. I was able to become a supervisor at a very young age, within 5 years, which is almost unheard of in that place, without doing the apprenticeship. It's because I just shut my mouth and I worked hard. And people were like, I know I can always count on this guy. But this guy here, he has zero friends. You know, when the time comes, there probably won't be anybody at the funeral. It's sad. I'm kind of laughing. It's not funny. I shouldn't laugh, but it's just, I mean, I didn't do that. That's the choice. That you reap what you sow. And that should definitely never be the case in a believer's life. Right? We need to make sure that we are always striving to make friends and to foster these relationships that we have inside this church. He didn't do that. And now all he wants to do is talk to everyone. He wants to talk to all of you guys about who knows what. What are you going to do? You know, you just got to laugh. It's everything that he's going through now is what he should have been doing his whole life. And it's like God's just saying, you know what? I'm going to take it out of you. You owe me this. And I'm going to get it out of you one way or the other. Because it's like all these, we're just finding all of these opposites. Like, for example, here's another one. Wanted nothing to do with church. You know, after I got saved in a Baptist church, you know, obviously I wanted to go there and keep going. I was a bus kid for the longest time. Finally, they were getting pretty, like, adamant. Like, look, man, we got to get you baptized. I know your parents aren't quite on board with all this stuff. Let's send you home with this waiver. Send me home with a waiver, and they were like, you're done. This has gotten way too serious. And so they stopped me from going there. Now, 25, 30 years later, he has to go to church 3 times a week. And he don't like it sometimes. Right? He don't like it. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Like, all the stuff he should have been doing, he should have been sowing towards. It's like now God's like, I'm going to take it now. You owe me. You know, that's all I wanted. I just wanted to go to the Baptist church. I just wanted to serve God there, you know? And he's like, no, you're not. You're my mom. You're Catholic. All Mexicans are Catholic. By default, you're Catholic. You can't be there, right? That's what she would always say. I'm like, Mom, get out of here. But she got saved before she died. This guy, no. Unfortunately. Go back to Romans 12. I should have told you to keep your place there, but if you would, go back to Romans chapter 12. We'll move on here. Romans chapter 12. Jump over to verse number 12. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You know what? It's good to go through tribulation. It's good to have a guy like this in church. You know, we've been to church a lot, and there's a lot of times we've been in church where there's this same situation, or there's multiple elderly people, and they'll burst out during the service, they'll yell things. It kind of makes stuff interesting, but you know, just being around that and having to deal with that, it's a mild tribulation, but it does breed patience. You'll be a better person for it. But he says, continuing instant in prayer. You know, when you're going through a hard time, you know, hopefully as a believer, your first reaction is to pray. Amen. Right? And that's one of the reasons why God has us go through these things, is because it's easy to get sedentary. You know, it's easy to just start getting complacent in life and then just forget that you have needs, that your brothers and sisters, they have needs. And the way that we get the help that we need is through prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I believe by actively living this life out here is going to be beneficial for your mind. Think about it. I think it's going to just severely reduce the chances of you getting Alzheimer's. Just keeping the mind active, you know, by obviously doing the things I talked about, the things for your mind, but also just being involved in church, being involved because you're always learning new things. You're iron sharpeneth iron. You're having these conversations. We're with each other. You know, you're learning new information. When you remove that, I mean, what happens to these prisoners when they take them out of, you know, general population, they put them in solitary confinement for extended periods of time? They go insane. And that's literally what he did to himself. He literally went insane because of all the environmental hazards, because of all these other things, and because he neglected people. Didn't like people. I don't want any friends. I don't want anybody around me. Just go. And now He craves the exact opposite. It's what I'm telling you. Take care of your mind. That is one thing that I have learned. So let's move on here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. So I said, point number one was take care of the body. You know, take care of that physical body. Make an effort to stay active, to stay healthy. Number two, take care of your mind. Take care of your mind through nutrition, through challenges, through scrubbing it, through the scriptures, all the things that we talked about. Let's move on to number three here, and this is going to be the final one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, doth not behave itself, talking about charity, talking about love in action here. Verse 5, it says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I think and I believe wholeheartedly when we try to live this out, we work on our character. We be a people that loves each other. And don't give me that, you don't love your neighbor because of that comment you made in Cincinnati. You know what? I'll make it again 100 times because it's true. You know, there's a big difference. That guy is not my neighbor. He is not saved. He's a piece of garbage. All of them are. They're all friends. And so, you know what? You have to own what your friends do. You know what? If my friends do something, I'm going to back them up. That's just how I am. Even if I don't, even if I didn't agree with something that they did, you know, if you attack my friends, it's like you attack me. I mean, everybody understand that? And so this guy making this video, oh, you hurt my feelings. I'm so sad. You opened up scars from 54 years ago from my dad. You know what? Mess with the bull, you get the horns. If you want to fight, we're going to fight. And I get nasty. And we'll get nasty. You know, there's a reason why people don't call me and try to get me involved in this stuff, because they know that I will go ham. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Why am I talking about this anyways? Oh, that's right. We're supposed to beareth all things, believeth all things, and hope all things, endureth all things, right? We're supposed to take care of each other.
Right. That's right.
Work on that character. And here's the third point. Here's the reason why I'm reading this and why I'm emphasizing that we need to work on character, because that's what this passage is teaching us. We need to be people of charity, about the right kind of charity towards the right kind of people. And point number three is build your character now before it is too late. Because if you neglect everything else that I've said and you contract this horrible, nasty disease, you know what? All that's going to be left is the worst part of you. So make sure the worst part of you is better than the worst part of somebody else, than the worst part of this guy. Because, you know, this guy has lived a selfish life. And he's been great. You know, to be honest, I'll say this. I would not be here today this soon if it wasn't for a lot of his help. You know, he's selfish, but at the same time, he'd give you the shirt off his back, you know, give you all the money he could. But unfortunately, it was for the wrong reasons when it all boils down. It was because he didn't want to invest in the actual conversation time. I mean, I could never go to him for any kind of emotional help or support. And I'm not a reprobate like this no rebuttal total guy saying, or saying I'm of the devil or whatever. But, you know, unfortunately, when he passes on, I probably won't even shed a tear. Because it's just the environment I grew up with them. You know, now it's different with my kids. I made sure that it's different. You know, got a good relationship with them, and I take care of them, and we've strived very hard to not have a family home like what I was raised in. But I was just basically, I mean, he came from a communist family. You know, his father ran for, I think it was either mayor of San Francisco. I want to say it was mayor of San Francisco under the Democratic Party, because it was the closest thing to communism back then that you could get to. And I thank God he lost. He lost the election. But, you know, those philosophies are what he was raised with. And some of that tried to get pushed on me and influenced the way that I grew up, you know, to the point to where there's very little, you know, there's nothing there. And it's too late now. There will never be a relationship like that. It's gone. Because all that is left because of the disease is like the worst part of him. You know, it's like the selfishness and that kind of attitude and that anger that he always had, you know, working and growing up, that is all that he's left with. And you guys have seen him get angry. We've had to drag him out a couple times. You know, it's a battle. But you know what? I think if we work on us now and we make that effort, that hardcore effort to build our character and to be the Christians God wants us to be, if by chance you happen to get this, that's what's going to be left. Because they go into people's homes all the time, you know? And believe it or not, I've met some young people with Alzheimer's. Not too many, but I have met some young ones, some in their late 30s. Yeah, I'm not kidding. I've met engineers, people that did spend a career engaging the brain that have gotten this. So it's not all just watching TV. It's not all just that aspect of it. It's a combination of things. But you know what? Like the other day, I think it was Wednesday, I went into a guy's home who has Alzheimer's dementia. He's, you know, 35 years, retired as an engineer. And I was just thinking, like he acts wonderful. I was talking to the wife, like, how's he doing? You know, what's his, you know, she's like, well, he's in the final stages as well. But he's just great to be around, aside from the memory thing. You know, and they have a so-called Christian background, you know, and so he did spend some time. I don't know if he said it, I didn't get that far into the conversation, but he spent a lot of his life improving his character, being giving, caring about other people. And even though he has that, what's left is basically somebody who's okay to be around, okay to manage. And of course, her pain, I can see it in her face. It's painful. I mean, it would be painful to look at your spouse and, you know who they are, but they don't know who you are. You know, and in this situation here, you know, it's hard for me because of the way that I was raised, but it would be 10 times harder if this were to happen to anybody in here. And so what I'm telling you is true. Take care of your character, because it doesn't just, you know, you get this thing, it doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody around you. We need to remember that. Now go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're almost done. Romans chapter 5. So once Alzheimer's sets in, it's possibly going to be the ugliest part of you that lives out. And so make sure the ugliest part of you is not that ugly. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 3. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Verse 4, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so I just want you to kind of realize that process there, right? We need to endure patience. We need to develop patience. And that breeds experience, and then that breeds hope. And all of that takes the use of your body. All of that takes the use of your mind. And all of that takes the use of your character, you developing your character. Last place I'm going to have you turn, Philippians chapter number 2. Go to Philippians chapter number 2. And so I just think, you know, you see these processes in the Bible. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. Right? I recommend we follow these things wholeheartedly. And I believe that that's going to cause, you know, these statistics to not apply to God's people. And that's the goal. That's really what we want here. Here's some more application for you. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. The Bible has a lot to say about the mind and how we should be of one mind, meaning we're all on the same page. You know, we all believe the same fundamentals of the faith. All of that stuff goes into play here. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let us each esteem the other better than themselves. There's something healthy about you being humble, about us being humble. I mean, you know, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that everybody who's pride and, you know, or proud and boastful is going to get Alzheimer's dementia, but you know what? A lot of them do. And one of the ways that you're going to take care of that mind is by being humble, being of that low mind, of the right mind. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we know from the Bible that God looks on the inward part of man. It's not the outward. It's not all the works that you do. What's on the inside is what counts. That's what he's going to bless, right? And that's why we also spend a lot of time talking about, you know, make sure that you put your money where your mouth is. Make sure you're not being a hypocrite, right? Make sure that we're doing things for the right reason. But we want this humble mind of no reputation to be in us, because it was the example that Jesus Christ gave us. Jump down to verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so he's saying, hey, I love the fact that you Philippians, you didn't just pay me lip service. You're also doing these things when no one's looking. That's good for the mind. That's good for your character. That proves and that settles your character when you're doing the right things when no one's looking. You're doing it for the right reasons, not for recognition, not just to get the thumbs up, not just to get all the likes, not just to get all the temporary recognition. When you're doing them for the right reasons because you really love God, that is, I mean, that's a sign that, you know what, you're in the right direction. You really got this good character going on here, right? But he says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? Exercise that faith. Use it. Tell people about it. Study it. Right? Don't just hold it and run, because then you become useless to God. And that's exactly what we do not want. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And last thing, I just want to leave you with this thought here from Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, which says this. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Look, I'm telling you, I think the biggest thing that we could do is exercise our faith. Learn about it. Love it. Tell other people. Use that thing. And develop it, because, you know, that faith there, just having that could also be the number one reason why you don't get this. When you're in God's will, you're following these things, and we all make mistakes. I get it. Nobody's perfect. But when you're on the Lord's side and you have his goal in mind, you're of that right mindset that we talked about, you know, why would he let you have that disease? You know, it's probably not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen. And look, we want to beat the statistics, because I think that these people in Revelation chapter 11, these people that want to destroy the earth, which in turn want to destroy us, call the population, you know, they would love nothing more than to silence the fundamentalist. 100%, that's what they want. That is why I said there are people hell-bent on destroying the earth, which means destroying our minds and our bodies along with it. We don't want to let them do that. And so part of this battle in fundamentalism is really just taking care of yourself physically and mentally, along with spiritually, right? We're triune beings. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. Well, you're already saved. So the Word of God has already separated, you know, your soul and spirit and joined them together for the new man. Now you got to take care of them both the way that God wants you to. And I think by doing that, we can minimize, maybe even just completely squash this whole Alzheimer's dementia thing. You know, pay attention to the wisdom. Pay attention to these natural things that are out there that could help your body get rid of this garbage that's, you know, polluting it. Because we don't need to be having 2/3 of our ladies, you know, in older age with dementia and Alzheimer's. You know, and people are getting at younger ages today. We don't need that. We don't want that. Let the world have that. You know, we all reap what we sow. And they want to sow to the flesh, they're going to reap corruption. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for these great lessons that we've learned. And I just pray you to continue to help the church grow, Lord. Continue to help us apply these things to our lives. I pray you bless us soul winning.